Welcome into episode 1, 2, 3 of Keithan's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather with Retreat, What's a Crack, Coming Up, Mum Mum Mum's Back, Me Me Me's as usual, the Shoppy section, and a dram section with a Jameson's Irish whiskey. That's whiskey with an E. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what the crack is in Caithness this week. And if you're hearing snuffling, it's because Buchle the puppy is behind me.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Oh. A, B, C. It's easy as 1, 2, 3. Simple as do, re, mi, A, B, C. I'm sorry, I hate that song. And I've given you an earworm. That's the episode number 1, 2, 3. Take that, wormy types. Episode. The podcast is almost 5 years old, and I'm 40 next Friday. 40, hence the O. I'm not all that bothered about turning 40, as some of my peers are. I'm actually quite happy to be still kicking about and in good health and not dead. So it's a bonus for you now, isn't it? I thought I'd be kind and generous and do a wee giveaway. The lovely Mail of With Mail podcast has offered up a copy of her pattern, Musubi. I don't think I said that right. She was coaching me in it and I still went wrong. Which is a cardigan knitted in bulky weight yarn, and it can be knitted up really quickly if you're her. Not me so much, but bulky knits quicker. And if you want to enter this, please do go to the Ravelry thread I'm going to open called Competitions and answer the question. What do you want for your birthday this year? You've got until the 13th of March, we're getting another Friday the 13th, to come up with that, and I shall choose somebody probably randomly because it's more fair. Unless one of you just makes me laugh till I pee myself. Because I'm getting on a bit, I'll probably do that kind of thing. I also thought that I would do a wee giveaway of some embossed leather bookmarks again, made by me. If you would like one, and don't worry if you already have one, you have more than one knitting book now, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, the first 40 people to send me a private message with their address and a request, I'll send you one or two if you have a long-suffering partner who has to put up with listening to my podcasts too. They have books and they need leather embossed bookmarks too. Hello, all long-suffering partners. Yes, you sitting there going, oh, she's still bleeding on. What's she talking about this week? Get to the whiskey part. That's the bit I like. Last episode cultivated a fair few messages. Thank you for them. I was most touched by them all. I seriously was not, and I did say this in the episode for you all, send me love letters, but I am blessed that you did. I've just had a feeling like that for a few months, and well, I thought I'd tell you because it was podcast material. I won't lie and say sometimes I can't be bothered writing a new episode as I script this, and oh yes I do. You mean you can't tell? Oh, well, sometimes comes Monday. If I don't have a new blather already bursting at my head, I drag my heels. But I did say last week, I got over myself and well, hello, here I am. This is me now entering the fourth decade of Louise being on the planet. I've made mistakes. I've made money, I've made cakes, and I've made a lot of knitting friends. And I'm thankful for where I am just now in my life, and I'm thankful for you lot. I googled the number 40 and it came up with a few things. The top 40 music singles, the 40 Days of Lent, which we're in just now, WD-40, which is actually made of fish oil, 40 years before we melt the ice caps to go, that's shocking, 40 weeks for being pregnant, unless you're me and then I only managed to get to 36, number 40 bus goes from Portobello to Pennycook, and UB40 with Chrissy Hynde. I got you, babe, and your ears are bleeding again. If you need a pee stop, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
What's the crack,
Citrin? What's the crack? Ow! Did you hear the little fairy bells? I was very fortunate to have the craft fairy of Bobby from Illinois visit me again. It's a shame Bobby doesn't actually come, but we've got the craft fairy, called Sammy the Postie. I don't always tell you on the podcast when I receive gifts, but I do always, well, really hope I always have done this, my most sincere apologies if I have not thanked the sender personally. However, she has sent me 3 items, one being a magnetic pin holder, which will then stop me fumbling and dropping pins because she heard me do this on the project bag making episode. I can't do anything with you lot going, yeah, I found something that will enhance your life. It's great being me, it really is. I used the magnetic pin holder and it's perfect. I am no longer fumbling or dropping. And there's a whole new set of pins in it. I love pins. I reckon that there is a set of pins for every occasion. Well, actually, I'm not wrong there. You get appliqué pins. They're tiny for doing appliqué. And you get thin, thin, evilly thin flower-headed pins for something. Actually, I can't remember what it is. But without exception, I get them stuck up my fingernails. So I gave up doing this and I gave them to my mum, who actually likes them and manages not to stick them up her own fingernails. And then there's normal fat pins, there's dressmaking pins, there's silk pins, etc, etc, etc. I suppose it's just like there's a needle for every occasion. Crewel needle, sharp needle, knitting needle. See what I did there? Milliners, beaders, tapestry, needles and pins, yeah. Also, Bobby had made me a hat. She told me a while back that she'd been knitting them like a mad woman possessed. I'm not saying Bobby's mad or anything, but she was maybe a bit possessed. And they're from a free pattern via Ravelry, and it's called the 1898 Hat by Kristen Byrnes. And it's published in the Siemens Church Institute Christmas at Sea. And the pattern says, the construction of this hat was inspired by one picture in a magazine published around 1910. Knitting the headband side to side provides a double layer of garter stitch to keep the ears warm and allows for easy shaping of the ear flaps. The edges of the headband are folded together along a slipped stitch seam and picked up together to finish in the round. The hat has plenty of depth so it can be pulled low on the forehead. The ear flaps will naturally cup around the ears to keep them warm. Oh, well, I will agree with this. It is snug, but not tight, and wonderfully warm. It's perfect for us all who are suffering winter. You might just be able to hear the wind picking up. I object to this, Your Honour. I didn't ask for any of that. Anyway, I was upstairs wearing it in my craft room yesterday, and then I was doing the mum taxi driver to Cubs last night, and I had to wait outside in the bitter cold wind for my wee darling to be chucked out the hall. I was toasty warm in the head. I do find that a lot of hats don't keep the wind out, because it's the biggest problem for me here. When I was walking the dog this morning, there was the start of that wind, it wasn't quite as vicious, and no coldness in the head whatsoever. See, I have a fleece hat that I got when I rode the Pepsi Max at Blackpool Pleasure Beach back in 1999, and whilst it's keeping its shape and elasticity pretty well, but it has a pom-pom effect at the top, which isn't good for putting under a hood of a jacket. But the Siemens hat does not, and it fits perfectly under the hood. But then again, you could, if you wanted, put a pom-pom on the top. But remember, I'm not a pom-pom fan, unless it's the magazine. So I'm going to pass on. Oh, also in the box was the pattern printed out, which was really lovely. So thank you very much, Bobby. You are a star. And I'm going to pass the pattern on to Mum, as you'll hear why in the Mum 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 section forthcoming. But obviously I'll have to knit one for Richard because he went, oh, that would fit me. Give us a see here. And he had a wee short. And he says, that's fantastic. I like that. That keeps my ears warm. And I'm a fisherman because of something you'll hear in the drams. So thank you very much, Bobby. We do send our get better soon wishes as well. Everybody send, think, get well soon, Bobby, thoughts. Right, well done.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. The ICH Events Hobbycraft and Stitching Sewing and Quilting Show is on at the SECC Glasgow on the 5th to the 8th of March. A lot of the stands have demonstrations, which is a great place to get new inspiration and see what's fresh and new in the crafty world. And stock up on all your stuff. Oh, a bit scunnered, I'm missing it. But then again, I've got to turn 40 and go out for a nice dinner with my husband to the fanciest restaurant in Scrabster, the Captain's Galley, and eat hot cuisine. Hot. Well, let's hope it is hot. Hot. So the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is on the 14th and 15th of March 2015 in the Edinburgh Corn Exchange. I will be there on the Saturday, kicking about the podcaster lounge, where you are invited to come along and see things. My time slot for you to come and interact with me personally, lucky you, is 11 to 11:30-ish. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm going to talk about the Great Scottish Tapestry and answer any questions that you have for me, which will be bar? And the answer will be, yes, good idea. And then I think that there's a podcaster meetup at lunchtime in the podcast lounge. So please do come along then, or if you're in the marketplace and hear me, because that's what tends to attract people, is my voice when we're in these crafty situations. Do say hello. I'll be glad and get your name wrong, probably, and have a blank look on my face until your avatar hits my cranium. It's not you, it's me. I never did book a class and now I've completely missed out. However, the winner of the competition for the weekend tickets was Helena from Chester. So congratulations to her and thank you very much, Joe and Mika. I hope you have a very fruitful weekend. Now, I'm not going for yarn. Goodness knows I don't need any. I am going for the crack. And I believe the Blaster Girls are going too, so there will be some. Also that weekend is the Dornoch Fibre Fest in Dornoch and it is the community centre. It was rubbish last week and I said that. A social club. It's not, but I suppose it is social because they're all been actually socially talking to each other in the community hall. Anyway, it's you'll easily find it if you're going into Dornoch because everything's yarn bombed and you just need to ask someone.
The grandma section.
Here's the mum section. Hi, mum.
Hello, Louise. Again.
I've just come into my mum's house. There's knitting everywhere. Right, so I just whipped my phone out before she tells me all and has to repeat it all. I thought, I'm going to get her to tell you it at the same time. So, right, what were you knitting on when it first came in?
I'm knitting a baby's jacket and it's a snuggly, smiley, striped, double knitted. And it's very, very pretty and it's got a beautiful lace rib, 4 inches, mm-hmm. at the bottom. And it's from my friend's knitting it for her granddaughter, a great granddaughter.
Oh, lovely.
And she's had it in and out, in and out. She's really scunnered with it. So I said that I would do the first 4 lines because when she pulled it all out again.
Mum, there's not 4 lines there, there's like 4 inches worth.
Well, what I says, oh, I'll take it home and I'll do the first 4 lines for you, you know. So, it's lovely, isn't it?
It is. It's a really bonny, sort of variegated and lilac blue.
And pink.
And pink. I think it's a little girl.
Oh, yes.
It's lovely.
And,
what wool's that?
Surdar double knit.
Surdar snuggly double knit.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's nice.
Yes. So, I've just started to knit it last night when I come home after being at her house knitting.
Did you sleep?
I went to bed about 20 past 12. I knew I was going to do it. I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't help myself. So I overcame her problem.
Right.
And then I just continued knitting, and I looked at the time and I thought, bedtime. And that was all what was on my mind this morning when I got up, you know, after I was going to take Ricky to school.
I take it you got up at 1:10.
No, I had to take Ricky to school. Okay. So I just picked it up, continued. So I finished the lace bit and I'm on the, you have to change your needle and do 3 rows of garter stitch. And then you continue up to the armholes.
Are you just going to carry on knitting it, or are you giving it back to her?
I'm going to give her it back, and I might just finish this ball of wool.
Yeah, there's about 5 metres left of that ball.
And then yesterday I finished this Aran beanie hat.
It's lovely.
And the fingerless gloves to match. And these are for the Baptist charity. What we knit for, they have a Christmas party down in London. The Thurso Baptist group goes down. So our wick lot had said, if we knit all the winter, summer long, well, all the year long till Christmas, could we just knit hat, gloves, mitts, gloves, even socks? And they said they would take them down. So that's what I've started.
It's a really bonny blue, that. What's your pattern?
It's an Aran pattern.
From where?
My book. An Aran book.
All right.
Family Aran.
Family Aran. 16 hand knits for all the family. It's by Sordar. So it's a pattern book from there.
And this is King Cole Twist Aran.
All right, okay.
So that's ready. I'm going to try and do one every other month because we meet once a month, because I think I'll run out of wool if I knit one every month.
Well, yeah, you probably would. So.
But no, it's I'm going to knit for Blythe Sword as well, for charity. So 1 month I'm going to knit for the Baptist, and the other month I'm knitting more for boys and, you know, Sandy's age, that group.
Right, what's that?
I'm knitting a cowl, and it's quite bonny wool, isn't it?
What wool is it?
It's hand-dyed yarn and fibre cream.
Oh, it's Space Cadet, that's from Mail.
Oh, yes, Space Cadet.
Lovely.
Yes, it's very pretty.
That's a purple and blue and pink.
Yes.
Who's that for?
Me.
Ooh, you're knitting something for you.
And I'm on the last lap.
Well, it doesn't take very long, does it? That cowl.
Now, I'm on with my cardigan.
This is from the Monomania pattern and yarn set that Mum won when we were over at the Knitting Pipeline main retreat. And the it's Monomania kit. And it is Neighbourhood Fibre Company. Their colours are just glorious, aren't they?
Gorgeous, absolutely glorious.
It's really well saturated and just divine.
Yes. So I blocked it, and I had a stitch up the shoulders, and knit around the
Neck.
That's what I'm doing now. And then all I've got to do is put my sleeves in, sew my sleeves in, and put the buttons on. So
have you got buttons?
No. I haven't looked.
Yeah.
I haven't looked yet.
Was the button band part of it?
Yes, you knit it up.
I think I like that idea better, because I had to pick up a button band.
I don't like doing that.
No, I'm so keen on it.
I did pick up the stitches here, but it's quite neat, but I don't like picking up stitches, but it's, you know, okay.
I don't mind it, but
I never have. I don't like sewing up either, and that's why I like knitting on rounds and, you know. So, that's... I think that's me knitting at the moment.
Wow.
I've got a pattern for the next project is a beanie for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I got
the backs and everything. For a man?
Sorry, no.
She's I've just pulled this out a big ball. It's a Humpty Dumpty size. And it's Aran, Magic Aran. Patterns like magic. $3.99, 100% acrylic, 250 grams. Doesn't say how much what yardage is on it. But it's mahoosive. And it's purple and pink. There's slight bits of blue in it. Yeah. So what's that for?
Well, I'm just, you know, beanie hats, scarves or cowls, fingerless gloves or maybe the...
Where'd you get them from? Bean.
That's what I got off Margaret.
Oh, right, okay.
And then she was looking in a stash. Oh. And I knit faster than her, she said, so that'll do for a scarf.
Yeah, that's quite nice. That's looked like a string part of a Muppet. I think you can make a Muppet out of that. Looks nice and soft. It's needles, quality knitting yarn. Oh, 70% acrylic, 30% nylon.
And it is one of the, you know, the fancy yarns that you do.
Yeah, I'd
knit.
Say it was like an Aran weight as well. Or DK, certainly, anyway.
I don't know what it'd be like. Look at that to knit with.
Oh, that'd be fun. The hand wash only, do not tumble dry. 100% polyester. Hmm. 6 to 7 millimetre needle.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So. And they're for the homeless. I can't imagine them washing.
No, they wouldn't have any facilities to do.
And I was thinking, that, you know, a berry, but I thought, well, looking at patterns, but berries, but they would rather have the flaps, wouldn't they?
I would imagine, so something that's
people.
Warm.
Uh-huh. Aye.
Well, she's got another two project bags sitting here.
This off Babs.
Oh, it's a Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah, I've got one black and one white.
Oh, Shaun the Sheep, Rowan DK. This was came with a...
Free
with a paper or something recently, didn't it?
That's what she said, and she says, would you like it? And I says, oh, thank you, that'll you will do for...
You can download your free Shaun the Sheep pattern at www.knitround.com.
To knit a little sheep?
Knit a Shaun the Sheep.
Oh,
I think you should
do
that.
Maybe you could do that.
Yeah.
So, our cinemas, February the 6th.
Yeah, we seen it for Sandy's birthday.
Right, and I think that's it at the moment.
Are you quite sure? There's quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just glorious. Is there anything you're sewing? Or have you abandoned ship on that?
Yes, I've started... Oh, I finished my bag.
Oh, so you have. This is the slouch bag I've been talking about. And how have you made this, Mum? Because it's an interesting technique.
Right, it's black. And I've done half an inch seam across...
On the diagonal.
Diagonal, uh-huh. And then
and strips.
Yes, and it's chenille.
Mm-hmm.
I've layered it, and there's bright green at the bottom.
One of your project bags has just jumped.
Oh dear. It's bright green, then olive green silk, then calico, then a very pretty yellow, red, pink material, and that was a very pretty blouse. I had bright colours. And then the top is black. So when you...
So that's how many layers of material?
Oh, green, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So there's 5 layers of material and the top's black.
And
then
you cut 4 and you leave the green
at
the bottom.
Okay. I'll take a photograph of this because you might not be able to understand the technique if you don't see it.
And then I used variegated threads.
Mm-hmm.
The same colour as the front and the very pretty...
Ooh, that's nice.
...lining.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Holland.
Is it?
Uh-huh. I got that as a present of a friend who went. And it's like orange and...
It's batik type of fabric.
Yes, orange, pink, purple. Mm-hmm. It's lovely colours.
Mm-hmm.
And the variegated is all those colours.
Mm-hmm.
I've got squiggles on the back.
Squiggles, stitching detail.
And I've got the navy, it's navy on stitching on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a wiggle all the way up there,
the handles. Uh-huh. Oh, it's lovely.
And then put the
magneted closure.
Uh-huh.
That's lovely.
So that's when I finished, and then I started cutting out for my knee rug.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be knee rug, or I might take that one off the bed, use that, and make a single quilt for the bed through there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all different blocks, and they're going to be 12-inch blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut two out last Thursday, two blocks. So
lovely.
I got all my colours from America. I got the materials from America.
Ooh.
That was when we were washing them and you were hanging up on the line.
Oh, yes. There's a picture of this on Instagram. So Instagram feed listeners will know what I'm talking about. But Mum, oh, yes, I will take some more photographs as she proceeds with these. It's a lovely, lovely choice of fabric. What's that over there, Mum?
This.
See what you see. Yes.
Right. This is your winder for wool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been winding all my hanks of wool before I give you the winder back. I've had it a while. And on this is a very pretty wool. What colours? This is...
This was a present from Sue, Travers' mum, for me, for making the bairn socks. And it's No Maker's Flamingo Fling. And it is just like a flamingo, but Daisy calls them mingos. So it's going to be socks for Daisy, but I need to get a pattern organised. It's merino, cashmere and nylon. Cashmere on Daisy's...
Oh, I laugh when it's so I'm
missing
laugh.
A trick here. Well, she's worth it, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I just need to get a pattern organised for you.
Yes. I've got our measurements.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what type is... What did you say that was a type of pink?
Yes, coral.
Coral and yellow, bright yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very pretty.
Mm-hmm. They make lovely silks, actually.
Yes. In fact, there's quite a lot of material.
A big yardage, isn't there?
100 grams.
Ooh, good. She can have long socks.
4, 3, 5. Oh, really?
And her big chunky leggies. So yeah. It sounds like you've been very busy, Mother.
I have.
You sure you've been sleeping? Oh, she's going into another bag. There's more, listeners. There's more.
No, I'll just leave it for the moment.
Aw. That was a treat to come in and find your mum busy. Okay, thank you, Mum.
You're welcome.
Oh, isn't she lovely? And yes, you can borrow her any time you want, but I do want her back sometimes.
The beaker section. Me.
Me section. Can you hear my lush cardigan? Yes, I finished it. In fact, I'm wearing it as I type this. It is cosy warm. It took me a while to get up the gumption to pick up the stitches and balance it out and work out where the buttons were going on the button band, which buttons I wanted to knit the button band and then sew in all the ends and all the buttons. So there's really only one item in knitting this episode. The first button band I did cast off too tightly. I used the knit to pull one over the other and carry on and rib, you know, the really most obvious one. Cast off, but it pulled too tightly and I unpicked it and took it back two rows. Why two, you ask? Well, I'd cut the yarn, hadn't I? Oh yes, listener friend of mine, I had. So after request on Twitter, Louise from Shetland, that one, you know, the troublesome one, she's lovely really, suggested that I use a bigger needle and I went from 4mm to 5mm. But because I cut the yarn, I thought, I'm not going to have enough yarn to take that just out the cast on edge and re-knit it. I took it back the cast off edge totally and then the line before, and then I used the bigger needle just to cast off one line in rib. And then to find the buttons. I have a big enough button box that I like. I got it from Hobbycraft a few years ago. It has oodles and oodles of sets of buttons in it, ranging from the bright down to the clear wee ones that you use as backing buttons or just the inside of your trouser buttons. The ones that people don't see. But they're very functional and you should love them just the same. I had a bit of fun firstly finding the set of buttons that might be suitable and then setting them on the cardigan. I finally went with a smallish tan set and they have a wood grain effect on them ones. Now I like the style of the cardigan, but here I kind of would have liked a little bit more hand holding for the pattern on the button band part. I'm not dissing the pattern because it's really aimed for people that have a little bit of a level of skill that was a wee bit beyond mine. It says do the button band row of whatever and you might need a 1-4 buttonhole, which was kind of okay, but then it said do 4-6 more rows. Then it was a little bit less instructive for the first button band, the one that hasn't got the holes. But I'm sure that's okay for those that have done button bands more times than myself. It's just I wanted at that point in my life a little bit more definitive 4, 5, or 6 rows. See, I'm not a pithy pattern person. It's a combination of I was tired, I didn't want to have to think too hard about something that I hadn't done much of before, I can't read knitting, I akin this to, I can hear a guitar is out of tune, but I can't actually tune it myself without one of the pitch machine-y things. I can knit, but I need the help of the pattern. And it's all about learning too. Now, I learned things about me and the cardigan. Or should I actually have read the cardigan and I? Grammar police are coming down my door. Firstly, it was quite a lot of knitting and it took me a fair while to do this with the time that I have available to do. It stretched me and also I am now capable of making it. I learnt about the construction being interesting of the lace panel and then going up for the neckline and then back down for the body. That was pretty cool. I learnt that when doing a provisional cast on to use a circular knitting needle and leave the stitches on it rather than a thread, which can be hard to unpick. And I might have said cable needle last episode, and I meant circular. I learnt that I have longer than 11 inches arms from the shoulder down to the wrist. I like long sleeves and not 3/4 length ones. I learnt that this yarn is a bit soft, and whilst it washes pretty hardy, that the button band is not really sturdy. I also learned that this yarn looks like I've managed the whole thing in Fairell. Due to the variegation of the yarn. Now, depending on who actually says anything, I'll tell them the truth. I won't lie, I'll just not correct them. Would I knit this again? Yes, but not anytime soon. And it's not because I don't like it, it's just because it took me so long. Although, I know what I was doing and then I'd be able to rattle it up much quicker. I find that with second socks or second sleeves. Richard said he thought it was a bit old-fashioned, which I think was the way I was wearing it and the colour it is, because it's kind of beigey colour. Again, I have dealt with this. But when I first put it on and I looked in the mirror, I thought that myself. And then I looked at the photos that he took. He's not very good at taking photos because you can see all the crap that's on the top of my counter. And I don't see it there anymore because it's so messy and it's there every day. Yeah. Anyway, but then I looked at the photos. I think it's really cool. I wear it well, Maggie May. Today I've been wearing it with only the top 3 buttons closed and he said it was better. But last night I went around all the light switches in the house and took photos of me and them, and they're not all 3 on or 3 off the way he likes them to be. There are some on, some off. And when he's annoying me the next time, I'm going to put it on his Facebook page. When he just goes that little bit too far, listeners, we have that kind of relationship. And yes, I know it's torture. And I said not to do it last episode. And I don't condone you doing it either. Do as I say, not as I do. It's the little things. He does things like that to me too, so don't worry about it. We do it in good banter. So, Lush. Dun, 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 dun. Now to dig out the owl's jumper and the needles. I remember I used the needles for something at some point over the summer. I'm going to have a dig about in our craft room because we had company last weekend and all the stuff in the spare bed got put on top of my stash and I can't get to the other side. I am shuddering thinking about it. We headed south last weekend for his brother's 40th birthday party and I grabbed my bag with a crochet hook and some cotton to make our dishcloth as we headed down the A9. Which I will admit was not so bad. But when we travelled, we only met two lorries and no Muppets. So it was okay driving. And I got most of the dishcloth made, and it was good to be doing something with my hands. On to the collective. I've also been to textile artists. And we've been doing crewel embroidery in the Jacobean style. I was sewing on beads onto my purple pocket to be. I rather enjoyed doing it, but when I got home, I had an hour whilst the dinner cooked in the oven, so I got it out again. Daisy helped me by picking out the right beads that I wanted and then dropping some of them on the floor. Yes. So the rest of them. Joan was crewel embroidering with the book that I mentioned a few episodes back. I can't remember the name of the book. But Ella had a bit of crewel embroidery too, which was all going merrily until she started bleeding from a cut finger. So that was the end of her sewing that day, let me tell you. You don't drip blood on material and you keep away from everybody else's. Valerie had the pattern for the slouch bag and some material that she's going to make it from. She was sitting there and I says, oh, Shirley's got one already made up. So in a Blue Peter style, we passed it over the table. She worked it all out in her head now, so that's kind of helpful. Also, she then handed me a bag of tartan. So I have got more Lindsay tartan and Drummond tartan and some other various ones. Catherine handed Dorothy a bag and it was folded like a wee envelope. And there was pockets in lots of places. So pockets, Karen, pockets. And Dorothy says that she's going to go off and make this because Catherine says she can't find the pattern. But they're of that kind of clever nature that a lot of them can just make anything out of anything. Celia had been south and had bought an apron which had been made from an old shirt. It was really quite cool in the construction of it. And the sleeve had been cut off the shirt and then sewn up to make a bag for the apron. And it could also, somebody suggested, be used for a fancy way of giving a bottle of wine. Very, very clever. And Celia had also been to John Lewis and bought some nice material to make 7 baby quilts, because she seems to know a lot of ladies expecting this year, and one of which is her daughter. Oh, I can see the ideas percolating in her head. Celia's our ideas person, you see. Then Shirley regaled us with her tale of her Edinburgh trip. She had been down to the quilt show in Ingolstadt, and there was talk of the trams being very quiet, and the hotel having huge rooms but rubbish food, and awfully handy in the Haymarket. And then she took out the new stash. Well, she had 10 fat quarters for £10, so we had to wipe the drool off them. She had 2 reels of thread for £2.50, and these were pried out of my hands. And then she had Japanese fabric panels, which were ooh and ah, and kept for good. She says, I don't know what to do with them. She had been on a shibori course and had her little samples to show us. She had a hank of hand-dyed threads and some materials. I know the materials were used for the shibori, but I'm not 100% sure about the hand-dyed threads. And she had some photos of the couple of days that they were down, and some of which included the quilt exhibition. She asked the organisers at the quilt show that if she could take photos in the first place, and they said yes, but you can't put them on the internet. So she says, is it okay if I do a slideshow for the Caithness Quilters? So they said, yes, that's fair enough. It's a shame you can't see them. So close your eyes, except if you're driving, just blink quickly. And imagine wonderful stitching and lots of wonderful techniques. Yep, you've got it right. I hope you're still just driving, you people. There was talk about the walking group going down to Glasgow that a couple of them are in. And they says, where can we go in Glasgow? So I says, well, what about the Kelvin Grove Museum? So, and somebody says, well, what about the Botanic Garden? Both very worthwhile visits. And then they went, oh, well, we've done that. And the Edinburgh Botanics is better. And I says, why? Has it got a better class of squirrel? It was a funny in my own head way. Other crafts this week have included Sandy's thank you cards for his birthday. Thank you, everyone, for the messages. He's now my 9-year-old son. And the making of a mechanical giraffe. Yes, Richard was in Hobbycraft with me and he had immense fun making it with Daisy. Now, her teacher doesn't like giraffes for some reason. So anytime we see things that have giraffes associated, we tend to buy them. Thank you to everybody who's been partaking in the Flat Stanley Inn. They've had so far 25 people put back from everybody in the class. So if you have asked to take Flat Stanley, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. And if you send the emails back to Mrs. Howie, the address is on the email that I sent you. That would be wonderful, because then she can just upload it straight away. And I mean, you can CC me in, that would be nice. And then I can boast onto my children where the Flat Stanley's gone. And he's been to Pennsylvania, he's gone to Denver this week, and he was in Roseville, Minnesota, and he's going to North Carolina. And this is just the ones I've had back, and I know I've sent them out all the way around the world, so it's been wonderful. Thank you very much for taking the hassle and time to do it. And then he was actually from somebody else. He's been down to Antarctica, and he has been down to Stanley in the Falkland Islands. So Flat Stanley's gone to Stanley. Somebody somewhere has got a good sense of humour. So that's wonderful. And thank you very much for that. Much appreciated.
We're drumming.
The drums. On to the drums this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode, because there's the only shoppy and blah 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 stuff after it. If you are into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Jameson's whiskey. And that's whiskey with an E.
We're drumming, we're drumming. We're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming. Hope you like drumming. Hello.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Hello.
What are we drinking this week?
We are drinking an Irish whiskey. It's Jameson's triple distilled Irish whiskey.
Ooh, that'll be a whiskey with an EY.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a slight change of direction. We've gone to Ireland for the week.
Went to Ireland. I met an Irish guy, and that said Irish guy gave me a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, that was nice of him.
It was very nice of him.
Yeah. Do you reckon that we meet random Irish people?
No, he wasn't random. He's a guy I met.
I met a random Irish person when I was in America and got a bottle of Irish whiskey there too. Yeah.
It's nice. I like Irish whiskies.
I've never really tasted that many, but we certainly drank that whiskey.
It's quite a light one.
That's only because you've drunk most of it.
I was getting tasting notes.
Okay, so pass me the case.
There is no case.
Why is there no case?
Because it's a bottle of whiskey and it's not got a case. It's cooking whiskey, it's not...
Is it a blend?
Oh, aye.
Right, okay. So, describe shape of bottle.
Green. Very green. As green as a leprechaun's eyes.
Well, you can't say that.
All right, it's green.
Sorry, Irish listeners. I can't take them anywhere.
It's as green as the greenest clover.
What I was going to say was you don't tend to get green... Scottish whiskies, do you? Is it like some Bales or anything?
No. No, I can't think of any green ones. The Simpleton of Dufftown, that's...
I'm in shock.
Green.
I've just realised something.
What?
We'll not be able to tell the colour in the ball.
Yeah, we can. Green.
They've all got infections. Poor Winnie the Pooh, Barbie and Chewbacca.
Oh, we need to give it some medicine then.
Okay, right, well the... colouring of the bottle is green.
Yep.
The label on the front and the back
creamy
is
colour.
Cream with black outlines and
writing. Gold in there as well.
And the top and out and parts of it is a bonny burgundy colour.
Is that burgundy, is it? Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, what would you call it? Maroon? Red?
Red, the kind of
burgundy.
Creamy, dark, creamy.
Burgundy.
Red. Is that what burgundy is? Okay.
Burgundy is for my purposes. Okay. I can't think of any other. Claret?
No, it's definitely not claret.
Right, so...
So?
Well, I can't describe the bottle if you've got it.
I'll just...
Or read the bottle of the information.
Unbonding. There you go.
Unbond. I think, get it here. Right, established since 1780. Ooh, they've been about. It's triple distilled, matured and bottled in Ireland. Ooh, that reminds me. You know how we've always been wondering about why they classify some of the whiskies that are made in Speyside as Highland whiskies?
Aye.
Well, James MacDonald, who we met at the weekend,
yes,
said it could be to do with the fact that they are distilled up there and then bottled up there. Because I think it depends on where they're bottled and distilled as to what you can classify them.
Some of the rivers will source themselves from the Highlands as well, mind. They might exit.
We should really do about research or buy a book or read a book or something, shouldn't we?
I bought one of Ian Banks' books, mind, about whiskies. That was great.
Yeah, but Bjorn's still good.
Oh.
So it's no use. Right, back to our Jameson's. 700 milliliter bottle, 40% volume, product of Ireland with a... look like fighters embossed at the bottom. They fight our dudes.
Yeah, well, whiskey does that to a man.
Since 1780, John Jameson. Yeah, we've got our boring old drinkware.
Tells you a wee bit of making it there, look.
It's quite disappointing, honestly. It's just made in our single distillery using rich pot still whiskey from malted and unmalted barley and the finest grain whiskey, both distilled three times for smoothness. Cool. So, it's quite a...
it's a bonny kind
of... It's quite tall and elegant. Mm-hmm. So, would you like to... well, we've done the colour.
Cork.
It's the cork.
It's a screw top.
It's a screw top.
That's okay. It's not a bad thing.
It doesn't make any difference, I believe, because you see that with wine, and my Pinot Grigio all comes with screw tops, which is great, because I don't have to...
My Rioja always has a cork.
Well, okay. Pour, please. Oh, you're sniffing it.
Just for fun. Just for fun. The nose. Have you sniffed? Are you getting floral fragrance, peppered with spicy wood and sweet notes?
Yeah, well, I was going to say I can smell something that smells like man hand cream. So it's obviously the whiskey, because I know you don't have any man hand cream.
I don't have my, but I'm wearing Lynx. I showered with Lynx.
Pass it back here and I'll see.
Sandy's Lynx. I stole my son's shower gel.
I'll have to throw myself at you. He's nine, bless him. He's nine. Okay, pour right, the...
Oh, the colour. Well, you can do the colour now.
But you have to pour it.
It's very light.
I don't know. I'd say it's definitely...
I would say that. Yeah. It's too dark for a bar being too light for a...
Chewbacca.
Okay, let's have a wee... That's a lovely golden colour when you hold
it up.
Sure,
that's blend.
Yeah, well, it's made from different whiskies, isn't it?
No, it says it's triple distilled.
I don't know. I don't know anything about whiskey. I just drink the stuff.
Okay, then. This is just why we're doing a whiskey in the podcast thing, listeners. Just believe everything he says, because...
It's a lovely smell.
It is really nice. It doesn't burn the back of your throat or nothing, it just kind of enhances the flavour of your...
I could only say, I know it's sort of like, it's word placement, but because I've looked at the tasting notes there, that's written down, the spicy wood and sweet notes, I would
agree with that, actually, for listeners, whiskey, with an EY.
Mm-hmm. I would like to, on the negative side, say that their website is pretty rubbish. I find it quite hard to navigate around.
Yeah.
Not difficult to navigate around, but it's awkward. You sort of...
There's no monkeys in it. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Right. Could you pour me some water, please?
Water. You swirled it, obviously.
Yes, I did.
It's good gear.
Have you had this before, ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 weekends ago.
Before of this bottle.
Yeah, I have had it a couple of times, aye.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sounds fab.
I like it. I think it's a lovely whiskey. Sounds fun.
Slight burn the back of the throat. No peat, no smoke.
No, none of that. Getting sweetness, though.
That's what I do feel like doing river dance.
It'll knock your knees.
That's true. I'd love watching river dance.
Are you getting a sweet sherry taste?
Yes.
Aye.
Kind of a sweet kind of that.
A sweetness to it, aye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting any vanilla at all.
What else am I supposed to be tasting?
Balance of spicy, nutty and vanilla notes with a hint of sweet sherry. An exceptional smoothness. I wouldn't say it's the smoothest one.
No, I think I'd maybe go a little bit more water in that, please. Well, that was the other thing James said. That they had a blind tasting of three whiskies.
It's all the same one, wasn't it?
And they were blindfolded. Right. And they were all trying to decide on what it was. And was that's a Speyside, definitely. That's the Island one. Turns out it was all the same whiskey, which was Bales.
It was Bales. I thought it was going to be Grouse.
Oh, no, bigger part. It was all Grouse. Right. It was Grouse. And they just added different amounts of water to it.
You should explain it. James is a colleague of ours who's a forester down in Forest of Ayr in the south of Scotland.
Colleague, that's going a bit far. I would have said that we just kind of randomly know him.
James is sound.
James is a good guy.
And he is a bit of a connoisseur in the whiskies. Mm-hmm. He's got cupboards full of the stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes through the whole, like, dead posh, tasting and everything. Whereas we sort of go a bottle at a time.
He's got
loads of bottles.
Yeah.
For the mood on the occasion when he fancies a dram.
Ours never lasts that long, but we've still got the point two left.
That's staying there. That's special occasion stuff, that.
Oh, is this beside the Delmore then?
Yeah.
We've almost got a collection there.
I've got a collection.
Beside the mojito.
No, we don't talk about the mojito, it's disgusting.
He bought a bottle of.
The Chris in the boat.
Ready made mojito, and we both looked and went, I don't like that. Then we just poured it back in the bottle.
Give it to the next unsuspecting
person that we have. Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Because we can't. Well, I've never been to Ireland. It's a place I'd quite like to go and visit.
I've been loads of times.
I thought you'd been once. Oh no, you've been a few times, haven't you?
I've been loads of times. Right. I've worked over there.
Tell me about
Ireland. I've drank Ireland. Over there.
Is it, whereabouts is this from? Is it from Northern or Ireland?
Dublin, I think.
Dublin, is it?
Aye.
Right, have you been to Dublin?
No, not made it that far south.
You've just been to the top part?
Mostly the top part, in the east, and what is... It's a lovely part of the world. It's very similar to Scotland, actually, in geographical terms, with the coastline and the lochs and the hills and the glens. They've obviously got their issues going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there during, just after, and since all the troubles. And... It can be quite an intimidating place at times, but also a very welcoming place at times.
Mm.
And I find Irish quite similar, very similar in personality and hospitality to the Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
That they're quite chatty and welcoming in the right environment. Mm-hmm. It's the same in Scotland. If you went into the Horseshoe Bar in Glasgow in an Old Firm game, Derby game, then it wouldn't be a nice place to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't into football of one orientation. And Ireland's like that. You have to be kind of canny where you go.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, going out for a night out in Belfast, fantastic. And all the other places you're going out drinking and socialising and working. Did a lot of work over there and a bit of travelling. That's a bonny place. We went hill walking one day. Well, say hill walking. We were on holiday, kind of, staying in a caravan. Myself and my friend. And then our boy. And we decided one day we were going to go up the Mourne Mountains. And the highest hill in Ireland is called Slieve Donar. So we decided we'd have a chat about this over a few pints of Guinness and drams. And then next morning we bought a bottle of Iron Brew and some crisps and sweets. And okay, it wasn't that big a hill anyway. And we just stomped up it. Up the top, spoke to a boy. I think we just went up one hill and came back down straight to the pub. And we did it in sort of a few hours. It wasn't like a massive undertaking. And we all had our kind of wits about us. The weather was fine. And we went in and we ordered our Guinness. And the boy says, "What did you do today, boys?" And we said, "We went up that wee hill." "That's not wee hill. That's Mourne Mountains." And it was this big, fabled hill, because it's the biggest hill in Ireland, I think.
So
then we drank lots more Guinness to rehydrate.
Oh, good, I'm glad. Yeah. Well, you had a great time when you went on holiday, I remember that.
And Irish,
I forgot
boy,
you worked there.
The Irish boy turns and he says, "You boys like your Guinness." It's good.
Yeah.
There we go.
So who are you having around for your dram?
Ah, well now, nothing at all to do with Ireland as such, but I'm going to have the chief of the South American Charqui tribe.
Ah, why? Explain.
But around about the 1800s. I do believe he's called Big Chief Beef Flaps, and Big Chief Deep Marinade took the job after him. Because that is where beef jerky was invented and sourced from.
Oh, right, okay.
I shall read you an excerpt, because I've taken
Could you just make a little bit more noise, banging things and stuff?
I'm excited, because your pal...
Oh, Colleen, Rabies on My Shoe, a long-time listener, very lovely person, has sent us a package today, and it was a beef jerky in the post kind of day.
Friend for life.
Yeah, she's a really lovely listener, and thank you very, very much. She had taken care of Flat Stanley, and she asked if she could send some little things for the kids, and also she said she would send him some beef jerky. Wonderful stuff.
Which dog's that?
Oh, it's a quarter.
Right, so, history lesson. Beef jerky is thought to have originated in South America during the 1800s. The Cherokee tribe, that's spelled Q-U-E-C-H-U-A, who were ancestors of the ancient Inca Empire, produced a meat similar to beef jerky called charqui or charqui. It was made by adding salt to strips of muscle tissue from game animals such as deer, buffalo and elk, and allowing them to dry in the sun or over fire for extended periods of time. This method of preparation enabled the people to preserve meats during times when it was readily available and eat it when food was scarce. When the Spanish encountered this method of meat preservation, they adopted it and made it available to the rest of the world. It became a staple foodstuff for American cowboys and pioneers. Early explorers built smoke huts and hung cuts of meat over a fire to smoke cure the meat. True jerky was made when the meat was first flavoured and then cured. Over the years, people discovered that the meat could be made more palatable by the addition of various spices.
Wow.
I'm a slave to the jerky.
You are, and you did even do research too.
Well, that's the best sort of summarised
bit
about it. I might not have the pronunciations of the Cherokee tribe.
Apologies to any of you.
South American Inca.
Because there's bound to be one people. Of them.
Descendants of the Inca tribe. And obviously I'm using a bit of historical licence about Big Chief. What is his name? Beef Flaps and his successor, Big Chief Deep Marinade. What?
Just laughing into my tea. I'm having a cup of tea at the same time as my whiskey.
Don't mix your drinks.
It was just because you poured me the tea first, and it's a shame to let it go to waste, and it's actually fine. It's like an Irish coffee, but Irish tea.
Irish tea. So who are you having?
Well, I've got a list.
Got a list.
Right, first of all, I'm going to have everybody that's coming to my retreat.
Oh, tell us about the retreat.
It's going to be John O'Groats Natural Retreats, and we've got Stumpy 01, Black Isle Crafts, Smoky Joe, Giffnet Girl, Tales from the Plain, Pantoffles, Beverly Jeff, No Tail Kit, Knitting Sloth, and Louise Tilbrook. Some of them do drink, some of them don't drink, so... I've told them that they're having a drams and they're not actually going to be forced to drink, but they'll have to have a sniff and go, whiskey. So that's the ones for the retreat. And I'm going to have the ladies from the new Irish podcast, and it's called Blaster.
Blaster?
Yes.
Sounds a bit gangster.
No, it's an Irish word for a crack or...
All right, cool.
That's the flavour. I think it's flavour.
Right.
Claire and Dervla. And they're really, really good fun sounding.
Cool.
So I was quite chuffed with that. So Wales, still listening for you. And also Colleen, who's Rabies on My Shoe, who sent us the stuff today. And Julianne Moore, because she won the female Oscar.
Yeah.
And I think it was her, or there was a few of them, said that they were using their speech to promote equal pay for females and males.
If you do the same job, they should get the same pay, as far as I'm concerned.
And she's quite cool.
She is pretty cool. And I like her films.
Also, I'm going to have Doc Hudson from Cars.
Why?
Well...
We passed Ramon the other day down to Lairg, remember?
Yeah, we did.
When we were getting the new boat.
Yeah. Will you stop hitting that cable, because it'll be making a noise.
I'm excited.
So, Doc Hudson... is because he says to Lightning McQueen in Cars, find your groove and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing the Ray run for the trail series, it was a 10.7 mile run.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the organisers, David, he was trotting me out because I went before everybody else.
It was nice of him to do that.
It was very nice. I felt like it was a baton relay because he ran me back in again and handed me over to Roxanne. And they knew. And he said, just find your groove and stick to it. And I thought, oh, that makes him Doc Hudson, so I'm going to have him. And finally, because we've got more room in the kitchen than we really need, the cast of Father Ted.
Good call.
Because it's Jameson's Irish whiskey. And I think that they would have a bit of the hard stuff, Father Ted cast.
I think it would be
mandatory.
Expected.
Of course, Father Jack.
Yeah.
Drink. No. Nuns.
In other words.
Yes. There was a pause there, listeners. I didn't fall down that rabbit hole. So, would you buy this again?
Oh, aye. Here, I would drink it again. Aye, I like it. It's nice.
It's nice. I like it.
It's not up there with the elite, but I would certainly not hesitate in drinking it or buying it again if I was in the mood for it.
It's got a sweetness to it. It's quite... not harsh anymore when you put a little bit more whiskey in.
Maybe try and have it in a coffee and cream.
Ooh. Maybe not just now, though, because I've not finished my tea.
No,
I don't know if I'm going to put it in my tea either.
No.
Oh, the boat. I knew there was something. Tell the listeners about the boat.
Well, we drove all the way to the west coast to a place called Ullapool, which is a very pretty little, sort of biggest northerly town.
On
the west coast. It's a ferry termination point for the ferries to the Western Isles or out to Lewis and Stornoway. And we had a look, and it's not a pretty boat. It's quite a bashed up old mussel farm boat, work boat, with an old engine on it. But it'll do me.
It looks quite sturdy.
I see the mileage in it.
Mm-hmm.
The knots in it. I see the knots.
The knots. I see the crabs and the lobsters jumping out of the creel.
Hopefully we'll have a few of those. So now it's sitting in the shed and it's going to have a wee bit of a service. I need to find someone that's a bit more capable at aluminium welding than me, because I'm not very good at aluminium welding.
Okay.
And maybe think about getting a wee hauler and a davit and a shooting pole put on it.
Oh, right, you've lost me now.
And then a bit of summer fun.
Mm-hmm. I was calling it the wash tub.
It's a bit of a wash tub.
Mm. Oh, and the other thing I'm having, it's not person. I had two otters run across the road for me.
I thought it was three.
No, it was...
a mother and two cubs.
No, it was just one cub.
Oh, one cub. Right.
So the otter ran across the road, and I didn't have to slam on the brakes, but because I thought it was a cat, I'd slowed down to a foot off accelerator and then sort of slowed down when I realised it was an otter. And I was going, ooh, 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 in the car. Nobody to see me or to hear me, thankfully. And then I saw the cub go to cross the road and turn back. So that was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
So you don't see that very often.
Otters are cool.
I like your hat.
I like your hat.
Explain the hat.
You explain the hat.
Well, this is... it was in the package. It's actually one for the Bairns each, but
we're wearing them because the Bairns are in bed asleep.
Philadelphia Phillies. I believe it's a baseball cap.
And you're a fine Philly yourself.
I've been to Philadelphia.
Have you?
Yeah, and this is an official league baseball cap. See, it's got a sticker and everything.
Wow.
So
I think your friend maybe went a bit to town there.
I think she's very generous and very kind. And
I've
been
to
Philadelphia, so I claim this hat.
I've not been to Philadelphia.
Yet.
Yet. I'd love to go over and spend a bit of time over there. That'd be great. Not just Philadelphia, but everywhere. I want to go and see everywhere, apart from all the rubbish places. But even I would go and see the rubbish places to say I'd experienced it, because I love experiencing stuff.
Just driving through very fast.
Yeah.
Obviously, hearing the speed limit.
Yeah. I'm trying to persuade Louise to send over a haggis and break all the Geneva conventions of haggis importation and exports. But she's a law-abiding citizen, so she says she's not going to.
Yeah, Gerald Butler.
Haggis is good.
They can get haggis over there, it's just not the same kind as ours.
Ah, but imagine sending over a McSween haggis.
Yes, but I'm not tipping up to the post office to say...
Just
they x-ray it, you know.
But they can x-ray it, just say it's, I don't know, cocaine or something, and it'll go through, no worries. And if it's haggis...
Do you know, you probably got more chance of getting cocaine through the customs than you do haggis.
I think we're walking a fine line here talking about this.
I might edit all this out because we're getting on a bit. Right, so maybe it's just the Irish whiskey, the cracks coming out.
Maybe.
So I'd say Slange Fat. I don't know any Irish Gaelic. But Gaelic. We'll just have to close with what we always close with.
Slange Fat.
Oichi Fat. Now that explains the boat. We now have a new boat in the shed. Woohoo! It's of course far too windy and far too wintry for it to be out, but it means hopefully we'll get some shellfish and some fish over the coming season. Hooray! And it doesn't have a name, it's just, I call it the washtub. Imagine having a boat without a name, it's quite sad.
Shroppy 6 in.
Shoppy section. The shop is stocked. There is currently some McLean, Gordon, Farquharson and Robertson and... Oh, there was an Ancient McMillan, but it sold and I actually have more Ancient McMillan upstairs to sew together. And I've nearly finished 3 Ancient Fraser bags and they will be there when I can find my unpicker. I had 4. Can't find any of them. My kingdom for an unpicker. Or I'll buy a new one. I'll maybe just take up my sharp scissors. If you feel that you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, please do go to visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah blah blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download, use up your broadband space and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt with the Ravelry group as Caithness Craft Collective. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access the Flickr photographs from LouiseJ2010 via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and the photos are down the right hand side. The music was from Avalon Rising with the Great Selkie, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.